This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم Inna ma'al usri yusra. Sadaqallahul azim. Respected scholars, beloved teachers, elders, students, and brothers in Islam. I think so it is quite clear that we are living in a time where apprehension, fear, somber moodness is found in the people of the community. Everyone knows of someone who is ill, or everyone knows of some family member who has passed on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. And as humans, it is normal to be impacted by such an environment around us. It is normal. As a human, when you receive a good news, you are going to feel happy. It is okay. As a human, when you are going to receive a bad news, you are going to grieve, you are going to feel sad. It is okay to express sadness. There is nothing wrong in it. And even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the same. When Prophet Muhammad, upon one occasion, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking at something and he smiled. Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who was passing by, so Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who gave a dua, he said that, O Prophet of Allah, adhakallahu sinnak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your smile. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you smile for the rest of your life. So, on the occasion of happiness, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. He expressed happiness. On the occasion of sadness, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed sadness. Famous incident. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with his young child, young son, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, holding him in his hands. And this child is about to leave the world. And he leaves the world. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sheds tears. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the sahaba that shedding tears is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another famous incident, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about the passing away of Hadrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when he saw the mutilated body of Hadrat Hamza, the sahaba mentioned that he cried so much. He was in so much pain that we could hear his chest grinding like a boiling pot. He cried so much. The sahaba mentioned that when he cried that much, even we started crying. And we all cried together. So as humans, it is okay to express sadness upon receiving a sad news or a bad news. But obviously, we have to understand that this virus or this pandemic or whatever we call it, which has hit us, it has affected many people, it has affected our country, it has affected many people spiritually, mentally, physically. There is no denial to it. There is no denial to it. But first thing which we need to understand to console ourselves or to make ourselves better is that this is not something new. It has happened in the past. Our books of history, I'm saying our books. When I'm saying our books, I mean the Islamic history. The Islamic countries are full of such incidents. It has happened in the past. Look at the famous incident at the time of Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Anhum Ajma'in. When the plague of Amwas took place, 20,000 Muslims died in that plague. And out of 20,000 Muslims, 2,000 were Sahaba. The likes of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the likes of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, they passed away in the same plague. Allah ta'ala gave them the status of a martyr. So don't you think even the people passing away in this plague hold the same status? Even they are the martyrs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that status. So this has been happening in the past. This is not something new. Another famous incident from the history. In 218, a plague took place in Misr, in Egypt. It is mentioned in the books of history that in this plague, no leader escaped. All the leaders died in that plague. In 218 Hijri. Then that same plague in 228 Hijri went to Uzbekistan. And in Uzbekistan, so many people died that they didn't have enough cloth to buy kafan. They were all martyred in this plague. Then later on, in 406, in Basra, a plague took place. And in this plague, so many people died in one home. In one home, there used to be sister dying, brother dying, father dying, mother dying, that they had to entomb the house. They had to bury people in the homes. The homes changed into graves. So many people died. In 448, Imam Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in A'lamu Siyarin Nubala that in 448 Hijri, the situation of Spain and Egypt was such that there were no musallis coming to the masjid. Now it was out of fear or it was because people were dying, only Allah knows. But the plague hit them so hard that there were no musallis found in the masjid. So can we say this is something new? It is not new. Recently, a few years ago in India, at the time of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, Sheikh Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, in his place, Muzaffarabad, the plague took place and many people started dying. So he wrote a book and he named the book Shauk-e-Watan, The Love of the Year After. Why did he name that to the book? Because we have to understand that whether today, tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, one has to leave the world. We have actually come in this world to prepare for the next. So he named that book Shauk-e-Watan, The Love for the Year After, and I will request every member seated here to try and find that book and read it. It will be very beneficial. It is even translated in, it is also translated in English. So respected elders and friends, the first aspect which we have to understand is that this is not something new. It has happened in the past, and I'm saying it has happened in our history. In most of the Islamic countries, this has happened. The second thing which we need to understand, which can make us feel better in this whole crisis, is that Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need anyone's confirmation to change the condition or to change a commandment of His. Allah is Allah. He can do whatever He wants. Allah can change the tables and turn the tables at any time He wants. And even that has happened in the past. Even that has happened in the past. Subhanallah. Look at this incident. Chinggis Khan, a very famous and a very harsh ruler, he went to Baghdad with his army and he overtook Baghdad. He killed all the leaders and he killed 1.6 million Muslims at that time. 1.6 million Muslims massacred at one time. And he threw their bodies into the river. And you see, Baghdad was the superpower of that time. It was an advanced place. The people there were educative people. So they had plenty of libraries. You know what Chinggis Khan did? He took all the books and he threw them into the river. The historians mention that he threw so many books into the river because of the ink of the books, the river turned into black. The color of the river turned into black. This is how he oppressed the people of Baghdad. But then when he went forward and he fought against the scholars of that time, The scholars were given victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama were given victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they all became Muslims. And then Genghis Khan and his whole group, they became the protector of the Muslims. They started protecting the Muslims. The people who killed 1.6 million Muslims were the same people who were taking care of the Muslims. That is Allah. Allah can change anything. Allah can turn the tables at any time. Another famous incident is when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to enter into Kaaba and perform his salah. And at that time the keys of the Kaaba were in the hands of Uthman, Hadrat Uthman, who was still not a Muslim. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him for the key, and Hadrat Uthman refused. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that, "O Uthman, a day is going to come when I will enter into Makkah as a conqueror, and I will take these keys from you and I will give it to whoever I want." And Hadrat Uthman laughed that you will enter into Makkah and you will take the keys from me. He laughed. Time passed by and a day came when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into Makkah as a conqueror. Hadrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who goes to Hadrat Uthman and he snatches the key and he gives it to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters into Kaaba. He performs his salah. He comes out. And then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tuaddul amanati ila ahliha." That, "O Prophet of Allah, you should return amana to the rightful owner. And this key belongs to Uthman. O Uthman, keep this key. You are the caretaker of the Kaaba from today. And it will remain in your progeny till the day of Qiyamah. And even today when you go there, you will find the key runs in the same family." So Allah can change Allah can turn the tables at any time. He doesn't need anyone's confirmation. And having said that, I would like to convey a message to each and every father who had to bury his own son, who had to throw the sand on the grave of his son, and to each and every mother who lost her young son, to each and every sister who lost her husband and who has left two or three orphan kids behind. Yes, it is not easy for us to watch a 5 years son or a 5 years child standing on the grave of the father. It is not easy for us to watch two young daughters sitting on the janazah of the father and watching the father leaving the world. It is not easy. But oh my father, oh my brother, oh my sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Allah Ta'ala loves you. That is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha ahabba Allahu qawman ibtalahum." When Allah Ta'ala loves someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them. And that is why when Dawud alayhi salam asked Allah, that, Oh Allah, where should I find you? What did Allah Ta'ala reply? Allah Ta'ala said, "Go and find me close to the broken hearts." So, oh my sister, oh my father, oh my brother, Allah is close to you right now. And Allah's mercy is descending on you. Allah mentions in the Holy Quran, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." With every difficulty, there comes an ease. But Allahu Akbar, look at how the scholars have explained this verse. They are saying that, "Inna ma'al usri." Al-usri is with alif lam, which means only one difficulty. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions yusr, Allah ta'ala is not using alif lam. He has put tanween there, which means many ease. One difficulty, when you are afflicted with one difficulty, it will come along with many ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Let us not lose hope in the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's help is near. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who have strong conviction in the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.